Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puff Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
Yes, both Quaker Puff Rice and Quaker Puff Wheat are shot from guns, exploded up to 8 times normal size. That's why these choice, flavor-rich premium grains are so crisp and tender. They're shot through and through with swell nut-like flavor, too. Just pour out a bowlful, top with fruit and milk or cream, and yummy, you're back for more. For a deluxe treat, eat delicious Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. George Acton entered the two-room cabin on the edge of Selkirk, in which he lived with his wife, Anna, and her 8-year-old daughter, Gloria. Anna and Gloria came from the other room as George sank wearily into a chair and rested his head in his hands.
What's the use of all this?
George, dear, you mustn't get discouraged.
Anna, we might as well face it. This claim is no good. I'm so worn down trying to find gold that I can't think straight to carry on my experiments.
Oh, golly, Daddy, why do you have to work so hard?
You wouldn't understand, Gloriani.
Oh, but you worked at claim all day, and then at nighttime you're full with all those bottles and things.
Well, your daddy will be known as a great chemist someday, Gloria. He's working on a formula now that, well, it may save a great many lives sometime.
Oh, golly.
No, Anna, it's no use fooling ourselves. I should have listened to Granddad when he wanted me to go into his business and give up the idea of being a creative chemist.
Oh, but it's your whole life, George. You worked hard to finish your studies, even though your grandfather did turn against you and refused to help.
Sure, look at me now. I talked you into coming to this territory in hopes I'd find enough gold to go on with my experiments. Instead, we've used up the little money we had. And the serum I sent back to the laboratories in Seattle must have been a failure. I've had no word from them in 4 months.
George, you must keep on.
But we have to live. This claim is no good. In spite of his wealth, Granddad refuses to help me. Wait. Anna, there may be just one way.
What are you thinking of, dear?
I heard a couple of old prospectors talking in town about a location far in the backcountry where plenty of gold has been found. It's away from everything, almost inaccessible in the winter. But if you were willing, there's still time for us to get there before the really heavy storms start.
Oh, of course I'm willing. We'll take enough supplies to see us through, George.
Good. I'll pack up my laboratory material and leave it right here in this cabin. I'm not going to carry out any more experiments till I have cash to keep at it. Anna, we leave here tomorrow morning.
A month after the Actons had left, winter closed in on the Yukon. One morning at Mounted Police Headquarters, Sergeant Preston entered the inspector's office.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Good morning, Sergeant. I have a very important and rather risky assignment for you.
Very well, sir. What is it?
Do you know of a young chemist named George Acton?
George Acton? Why, yes, sir. He has a cabin at Selkirk. I've stopped at his cabin many times. He has a wife and a small daughter.
He was living in Selkirk, Sergeant, but it seems he disappeared from there with his wife and daughter about a month ago. The constable there doesn't know his present whereabouts.
I see.
Sergeant George Acton must be found as soon as possible.
Well, what's he done, sir?
He hasn't committed a crime, if that's what you mean. Acton created a formula using a serum and sent a sample to laboratories in Seattle. That serum saved the lives of a number of people suffering from diphtheria.
I see, sir.
An epidemic has broken out near Seattle. The authorities there are frantically trying to reach Acton to get his formula so that they can make more serum. Acton can't be found.
If his serum saves lives, as you say, sir, Acton will be famous.
Yes, and furthermore, there's a notification here saying that Acton's grandfather passed away, leaving him a large fortune. Of course, the main thing is to find him and to get that formula so that it can be sent by telegraph to Seattle as soon as possible. Time is short, Sergeant, and lives are at stake. You must find George Acton.
Sergeant Preston and his great dog, Yukon King, hurriedly made the trip to Selkirk and began inquiries about George Acton, but without result. Finally, he went to the cafe.
Hello, Sergeant Preston.
Listen a moment, everybody. I'm looking for George Acton. Many of you know him. I must find out where he is. Anyone know? He hasn't committed a crime. In fact, he's needed to save lives. As a chemist, he's made a serum and
hey, I remember that young fellow now.
Huh?
Some of the boys were joshing him about fooling with drugs and such. It was 5 or 6 weeks ago.
You know where he is?
Not exactly, Sergeant. But he did come to me and ask me concerning some talking I did about there being plenty of gold in the back country near Elk Valley. Said he was going there. I told him he'd be foolish to stay there during the winter and all, but
thanks for the information,
now, Jim. Now, hold on, Sergeant. You weren't thinking of trying to get through to Elk Valley now. You'll never make it.
Well, I must get there to find Acton.
Yeah, but the country's wild and unsettled. The only trail crosses a mountain. With the heavy snows we have lately, there's dangerous snowslides.
I'll have to risk it, Jim.
And there are wolves, too, mean and hungry, roaming that wild country. Acton left here before the snows piled up.
I'm used to bad weather. I'll leave for Elk Valley this afternoon. See you when I get back. Come on, King.
Sergeant Preston requisitioned supplies, and then started on the trail that led into the backcountry.
On, King! On, you huskies!
The trail was little used, and King had to break the way for the other dogs to follow. As night fell, a fine, hard snow began to fall, which, carried by the wind, stung Preston's face like fine needles. But he pushed on at a fast pace. With only a couple of short stops for rest and food, Sergeant Preston and King put many miles behind them during the long, cold night. By afternoon of the following day, Preston, though weary from fighting the storm, still pressed on through bleak, windswept country. The snowfall had stopped, but snowdrifts covered with a shiny, hard crust made traveling difficult and slowed the Mountie's progress.
Okay, hi, Husky! Come on!
He stopped to rest the dogs, then stood gazing over the sinister landscape ahead of him.
Well, we've reached the foot of the mountain the old sourdough spoke of. I see what he means when he spoke of it being risky.
Sergeant Preston scanned the mountain before him. The obvious trail zigzagged up the side of the range, and he noticed with misgivings that there were many overhanging snow-laden cliffs under which the trail passed. Elk Valley was just beyond the mountain, and he felt that if he could maneuver his dogs and sled over the range, the worst would be behind him. Once more, he gave the word to start.
Up front, boy.
All right, on, King! On, you husky!
Led by the valiant husky King, the other dogs strained at the tug lines as they moved slowly up the mountain trail. Death, disguised by white, sparkling, encrusted billows of snow, waited to drop tons of crushing masses upon the courageous traveler and his dogs as they struggled to surmount the treacherous range. Preston literally held his breath as he and the dogs passed under one overhanging cliff after another, and he strained his ears to hear the first warning crack and rumble that would indicate the beginning of a snowslide. The struggling dog team rounded a bend and started up the final steep grade toward the top. Slowly, the sled moved forward and upward. Suddenly, as they neared a ledge that partly overhung the trail, Preston heard the dreaded warning.
Snowslide! Jaking! Under the ledge! That's our only chance!
Fighting for his very life and that of his dogs, Preston directed the team toward the cleared space under the ledge.
On, King! Pull! Pull, you husky!
Pushing and straining every muscle, the Mountie forced the sled and dogs toward the space under the ledge. Just as they reached it, the world seemed to fall about them.
Hooking! Hi, Hunter!
Preston had cowered back against the mountainside with the dogs around him as the tremendous masses of snow and ice fell at express speed over the ledge in front of them. Finally, it was over, and Preston found they were enclosed by walls of snow with the ledge as a roof above them.
Well, they're safe for the moment. We'll have to dig out before we suffocate. I hope that wall of snow and ice isn't too thick to dig through. I'll have to get to working fast.
With a shovel he carried on his sled, Sergeant Preston began to dig methodically. He realized that panic would be fatal, and so would overexertion, since he'd breathe faster and use more of the precious air in their small space. Furthermore, he had to avoid perspiration, which the icy wind would soon cause to freeze once he did dig through to the open.
That's it, King. Help me dig out. We'll make it, boy. We must get out and soon.
It wasn't long before Preston was gasping for each breath, but he continued to dig until finally...
There! My shovel broke through. We'll have air now, King. Oh. For a while I thought we were finished, boy. We'll rest a while and we'll get out of here and push on.
After digging an opening large enough to drive the sled through, Sergeant Preston once more started up the mountain trail. He went over the top without further incident, and partway down the other side found a protected spot in which to make camp. At dawn, he again pressed on, and by noon had reached the broad valley. The sun came out, and for a while its slight warmth was a welcome relief from the sharp, biting cold. But its reflected glare on the sparkling snow became more and more troublesome.
Okay, fire, Husky! Run off!
Should have taken more protection against that sun glare. My eyes, I can't see clearly.
Preston sat down a moment on the edge of the sled and covered his tortured eyes with his gloved hands. He felt a wave of embarrassment as he thought that with all his experience, he had neglected to take more precaution against snow blindness, an affliction against which he had warned many a tenderfoot in the Yukon. He realized he'd become careless of his own safety in his haste to find George Acton's cabin before nightfall. Once more he arose and started the dog.
Up front, boy. All right, on King! On, you husband!
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Ask Mother, she knows. Yes, Mother knows that quality comes first in a food. That's why delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice are made from only the premium, flavor-rich grains of wheat or rice. And what's more, Mother likes the fact they make an easy-to-fix, economical, deluxe family breakfast with milk or cream and fruit. For added health benefits, natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron are restored in Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So for a nourishing, taste-tantalizing breakfast tomorrow morning, serve the one shot from gun, Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. And say, fellas and girls, get ready. A wonderful surprise is coming at the end of the program. Have paper and pencil handy. Now to continue. Noon passed, and as time went on, the sun glare continued. Against his own better judgment, Sergeant Preston, not wanting to lose time, pushed on, squinting ahead over the shimmering wilderness for some sign of life. Then he again ordered the dogs to stop.
Looking! Fire, Husky! Run out!
That sun, I can't see anything but a white blur. I'm snowblind. It's all right, boy. I'll get under the fur robe on the sled and rest a while. We'll pass off shortly, I'm sure. I hope I find George Acton before nightfall, but right now I'll have to get over this blindness.
Preston rested on the sled almost half an hour. When he again tried to use his eyes, he found the condition was still the same. At first, he became impatient.
I can't let this stop me. I must get going.
Then, when a distant sound reached him, he became worried.
What? Sounds like wolves. Must have picked up our scent and followed us, but I can't see if they're within sight.
For a short time, Preston waited. Then he heard them again, closer.
They're closer. closer. I'll have my gun ready. They're moving in. I can't see them. I'll fire a few shots in the air toward the sound. That'll scare them off for a while. Maybe that did it. Can't wait here for them to close in, even if I am snowblind. Follow the trail, King. Take the lead, boy. All right, on King! On, you husky!
For a mile or two, Preston blindly moved along with the dog sled. Then the sled suddenly struck a large ridge of ice, throwing him to the ground.
Okay, hold on. Lucky I didn't sprain my ankle. The wolves are still close and following us. If I could only see them. No, this isn't any good. I can't let myself get panicky. Watch them, King, and stay close, boy. We'll keep them off as long as we can. At least we'll go down fighting.
In a cabin in the valley, George Acton walked the floor as Anna prepared a meager supper.
Anna, I'm a fool. I've taken you and Gloria from bad to worse.
Don't get upset, George. We must have faith and hope for the best.
Have faith in what? Granddad had no faith in me. Now I've lost faith in myself. There's no gold in this godforsaken valley. Not even people within miles. I shouldn't have brought you and Gloria here.
Do sit down, dear. Pacing and worrying aren't going to help.
Anna, I've come to the end of my rope. I'm a rotten chemist, and worse as a husband. I can't seem to earn a living for you and Gloria.
Daddy, when are we going back to where other people are?
As soon as we can, honey. But I couldn't risk it with you and Mama in this weather.
George, dear, remember, whatever happens, we have one another.
That's just it. If it weren't for you and Gloria going through all this, I wouldn't mind so much. Our supplies aren't going to last. I don't know where we can get any more.
Is Daddy mad at us, Mama?
Oh, no. No, honey, don't mind me. You and Mama mean the world to me. But I shouldn't have brought you to this ice-bound wilderness.
Oh, don't talk that way, George. We want to be where you are.
I might make it back to Selkirk alone, but with you and Gloria, only one sled, a small team of only four dogs...
George, you must have faith. You can't let yourself get depressed like this.
I say prayers for you every night, Daddy. Don't you think God listens to little girls like me?
I wonder.
Why, of course he does, child. Oh, George, I really don't...
Listen to them. Wolves. That's another reason we couldn't try to leave here.
Golly, they make me feel all shivery when I hear them.
Now, don't be frightened, Gloria. You're safe here in the cabin with us. Oh, George, did you hear that?
Yeah, shots. The wolves must be closing in on someone.
George, what are you going to do?
Take my rifle and go out to help.
Oh, Daddy, be careful.
Yes, do be careful.
At least it's a good thing to know there's someone else in this valley. I hope I get to them in time.
Oh, hurry, dear, hurry.
Sergeant Preston, partially blinded by the glare of the sun on the snow, knew that the wolf pack was closing in. He was determined to go down fighting.
It'll not be long now. I hit one. They really must be close.
King! King, come back!
The great dog King saw the leader of the pack run ahead of the others and head toward the sled. He instinctively sprang forward to meet the threat to his master. A moment later, he and the pack leader, a large gray wolf, engaged in a terrific fight as the others of the pack hung back momentarily watching the struggle.
King! King!
As Preston staggered back along the trail toward the sound of battle, he could dimly see the gray shapes behind the fighting leader and King. It was then that Preston heard a welcome sound.
I'll help, mister. Use your gun to hold him back.
I'm snowblind. I can't see them.
I plugged the leader that was fighting your dog.
Hey, King. Hey, boy.
Shoot straight ahead, Sergeant. The pack is just ahead and breaking up. They're leaving. There they go.
Thank heaven. You came just in time. My eyes, I can't quite see you, but you sound like George Acton.
I am George Acton. But I never expected to see you and King in this part of the country.
At last, I came here to find you, George.
Whatever the news, it can wait till we reach my cabin. It isn't far. Let's go, Sergeant.
A short time later, Sergeant Preston sat with compresses covering his tortured eyes.
As soon as Anna had finished administering first aid, he spoke.
George, I must tell you, your serum is a great success.
Oh, George, I knew it.
Wait. The sample you sent has been used. It saved several lives. Now there's an epidemic of diphtheria in Seattle, and they want you to telegraph the formula.
Sure. Sure, as soon as I can reach a telegraph office.
We'll leave at dawn for Selkirk. With my dog sled and yours, we'll make it all right.
Of course we'll make it.
There's more news.
What?
George, your grandfather passed away.
He... Oh, poor Granddad. He didn't understand what I was trying to do, but I can't blame him. I thought I'd failed myself.
You haven't asked about his fortune, George.
Oh, I didn't expect him to remember me in his will after I turned down his offer to go into his business.
He left his entire fortune to you. What? You're now not only a wealthy man, but you'll be a famous one when the news of your serum reaches the world.
Why, I don't know what to say.
Does that mean we're rich, Daddy? I ask God to please help you.
Oh, your prayers were answered, Gloria. Far beyond our expectations.
But this doesn't call for tears, Anna.
Oh, it's a woman's privilege to weep when she's happy, dear. I'll get supper ready, and then we'll pack for the trip back to Selkirk.
The trip back to Selkirk was slow and tedious. But finally, Sergeant Preston and the Actons reached the town. They stopped first at the telegraph office, where George sent a wire to Seattle giving the formula of the life-saving serum. Several days later, Sergeant Preston went to the Actons' cabin.
Sergeant Preston, come in and bring King with you.
Thanks, George. Come on, King.
Hello, Sergeant.
Hello, Sergeant Preston.
Well, hello, Gloria.
Oh, golly, Daddy. Now that you have a lot of money, I wish you'd buy King for me to own.
Honey, I'd pay plenty to own King.
I wouldn't trade King for your entire fortune, George. Would I, boy?
If George keeps on with his plans, he'll soon be without his fortune, Sergeant.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, he plans to endow his college so that they'll have an up-to-date school of chemistry, for one thing. And he wants to build a small hospital here in the Yukon.
Wonderful. But, George, I brought a telegram for you to see, which I received from the inspector at headquarters. Here, read this.
Oh, let's see. I commend you for completing your assignment and bringing George Acton to Selkirk. Have been advised by the authorities in Seattle that the Acton serum is being used, and besides saving many lives, it has stemmed the growth of the epidemic. Newspapers throughout the states and the empire are spreading his fame rapidly. Regards to you and to George Acton for jobs well done. Oh, that's fine, Sergeant. Oh,
it's wonderful. If it hadn't been for Sergeant Preston...
George earned his fame, Anna. Finding him was just another assignment as far as I was concerned.
Golly, I think King deserves a medal or something for all he did, too.
Well, honey, I'll tell you what. We'll give King a nice gold medal to hang from his collar. How's that, huh?
I'd say that King would much rather have a nice big piece of that venison steak I'm cooking. Wouldn't you, King?
Well, golly, he said yes, I think.
I'm sure he did. King and I don't expect medals for doing our job, do we, boy? Anyway, this is one time I'm both happy and relieved to say this case is closed.
We'll return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. But first, here is Sergeant Preston.
Have you boys and girls heard about the wonderful surprise that my old friend Gabby Hayes has for you? Well, here he is with some of his friends who are just about to receive theirs.
Give it to us now, Gabby, please.
I can't wait. Please, Gabby.
Simmer down, simmer down. It seems like thousands of buckaroos are scrambling to get this surprise. Yes, sir. So many people kept asking me, where in the world did you get that hat? Who ever had a hat like that afore? Well, here's a surprise, because there ain't no other hat like it in the whole world. So I decided to have some hats like mine made up special for my friends. So here you are, buckaroos. Try them on.
Oh, boy. Aren't they keen? No wonder all the kids want them.
Everybody's getting them, and it's just like yours, Gabby.
Why, sure. It's the spitting image of my hat, just like the one I always wear in my Western movies and on my televisionary programs. Yes, sirree, Bob. But listen here, buckaroos. This idea of wearing a hat like old Gabby's is sure sweeping the country, and I just had a certain number of my hats made, sofa. Pete's sake, hurry. Don't wait till it's too late. Hurry up and send in your orders, pronto.
Yes, it's all the rage these days to wear a hat just like old Gabby's. Everybody goes for the jaunty way the brim is pushed straight up from your forehead, for that beat-up look to the brim, for the cord under your chin with a hitch to hold it tight. And listen, this Gabby Hayes prospector's hat isn't paper or flimsy stuff. It's made of real good quality soft wool felt. And I mean 100% wool felt. Why, you might think this hat would cost $2 or $3, but it's yours for only 75 cents and one box top from a package of delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice. If you don't agree this hat is worth every penny you paid, return it, and we will gladly refund your money plus postage. Imagine a real hat of soft 100% wool felt for only 75 cents in coin. Think of what a wonderful present this hat will be for you and for your special friends. It comes in 3 sizes to fit every boy and girl. Now, I'll bet you don't know your head size. Well, just for fun, first take a guess. Then see how close you are. Now, all you do is put a tape measure or strip of paper around your head at the forehead. Now, go ahead and do it right now. Then make a note of the exact number of inches, even to an 1/8 of an inch, and send this measurement with your order. We'll send you the size closest to your measurement. Remember, send your name and address with 75 cents in coin and one box top from a package of swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. Send to Hat, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. Now, don't wait. Send now, tonight. And Gabby will see that you get a Gabby Hayes prospector's hat just like his. Send to Hat, H-A-T, Hat, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. And don't forget your measurement. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, sir.
Sergeant, Tom Gordon has struck it rich at his mine. He's taking a shipment of gold to Whitehorse, and he'll need protection.
You want me to provide it, sir?
Yes. Prospectors are being robbed and murdered on the trail, and the killers are still at large. You'll not only guard Tom Gordon, but you'll also go after those killers and bring them to justice.
I'll try, sir.
I know you will. But be careful you don't end up as a murder victim yourself.
Sergeant Preston must protect the life and gold of a suddenly rich prospector. But ruthless killers strike before he has a chance to act. And then, as they escape with the gold, a dramatic chase begins through the blizzard that rages in the Yukon Territory. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereal shot from gun. Only Quaker Paco 10 has all your family's cereal favorites. A regular cereal pantry. That's Quaker Paco 10. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. Paco 10, and only Paco 10, has wheat and rice shot from guns. And Paco 10 alone has the individual packages with the cellophane windows. There's both an inner and outer cellophane wrap to doubly protect that day it's made Christmas. Pick up a pack of Paco 10 at your grocer's tomorrow. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Pop Wheat and Quaker Pop Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.